you'll get a treat today. Two treats. One, yes. Y'all don't have to listen to me, and two, you get to listen to David. I feel like he had a word. Lord, again. Double blessing. Yay.
Hopefully. Well, Jesus, I just pray you bless this message in Jesus' name. Whenever I was and graduated high school, I may have shared this. I've only spoken here like one time at the noon service, and I may have shared the same thing. I don't remember, but you probably don't either, so that's good. There is a community college near where I lived, and they gave haircuts for free, and I was just out of high school, so I thought, hey, free haircut, this is awesome. So I went there, and it was the barber students learning how to cut hair. So you walk in, and you're like, well, this is free. And then they give you this haircut, and you're like, oh my. I mean, I learned very early you get what you pay for. So if you walk out of here with a bad haircut, know that it was free. So, and I'm learning. So, I felt like the Lord gave me a word, and then you have to put it into words, and that can be the challenging part of giving a word. So what Bracken read, I was just thinking about cancel culture, and we think that it's this new thing of people trying to cancel the truth. And really, we're in a time where the truth has never been more offensive. You don't even have to try to be offensive. You just say the truth, and you'll immediately offend so many people, the loudest people, actually. And that's the thing about cancel culture. It's always the few. It's the handful of people making the loudest noise. It's really most people want Jesus, I've found, out on the streets and wherever I go. Most people want Jesus. It's the handful of people that make the loudest noise that try to shut things down. But cancel culture isn't new. It's been around for a while. And in this passage that Bracken read, the Pharisees are trying to cancel Jesus. And they do a lot of work to try to cancel Jesus. And I feel like in this passage, there was something that stuck out to me that kind of gave me a clue of how I can personally handle it. I think we all have different ways, different callings that the Lord has for us and how to address criticism when we're criticized or when, the culture may come against the truth. But I feel like there's a real clue here for us. And so I just want to start with a few notes in the context. So the Pharisees and the scribes came to Jesus from Jerusalem. So Jesus, in chapter 14, he's in Gennesaret. He had crossed the Sea of Galilee, and now he's in, Gennesaret. And that's about like 50, 60, 70 miles from Jerusalem. So, and they didn't have Ubers back then, okay? So they couldn't just, tap up their phone, call an Uber, and, okay, take me to Gennesaret. They had to travel, 50, 60, 70 miles on foot and horse. So they're going out of their way, come and find Jesus to try to cancel him. And I'm thinking, okay, you better have something good. You travel that far. That's a lot of time to think about how are you going to, trap Jesus. And the best they can come up with is, you didn't wash your hands. I'm like, wow, you sound like my parents. Not really, I'm kidding. Because he just says, honor your father and mother, so sorry. But he said, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? For they don't wash their hands when they eat. So this is just kind of a really petty thing, but it's not a commandment of God. It's just a tradition, like you said, that the elders laid out. And Jesus just doesn't really care about that tradition. But that's the best, criticism will find you wherever you're at. Jesus is here minding his own business, doing his own thing. Persecution goes out of its way to find him. Criticism goes out of its way to find him. You don't have to go find criticism or persecution. But it also will try to nitpick and twist words and find, everything, little thing that you may be doing wrong. But let me tell you, if you want to pick a fight with somebody, do not pick a fight with Jesus. Because he will not only make you look stupid, but he will reveal the stupidity that you're walking in. And I think we've all done that. We've all put our foot in our mouth. We've all had a critical spirit from time to time. And we're like, I'm going to go, let them have it. And you wind up just putting your foot in your mouth because, when we criticize each other, we're really criticizing Jesus. So we just have to be careful not to have that critical heart, that critical spirit with each other. And I think one of the differences between a critical spirit is like it's not interested in reconciliation. It's not really interested in the truth. It's just interested in shutting people down. It's not, and I think to avoid us having a critical spirit, we have to be filled with the Holy Spirit and just assume the best about one another. And that's really the only side comment I have there. So Jesus then really flips the script on them, and he points out that they're violating God's commandments by their own traditions. Well, and not only does he do that, but he also, in verse 10, he calls a crowd around him So the Pharisees come up. They're like, hey, Jesus, oh, you don't wash your hands. Jesus said, okay, everybody come here. And everyone gathers around. And then he exposes the truth about him. And I don't think Jesus is angry here. I don't think he's upset. I just think he's the truth. So everything that he says is the truth. And so he can't help but say the truth. And there's a whole other message in here about our words. Because in verse, I'm going to go a little bit past the reading that Bracken did. So he called the people to him and he said, hear and understand, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth. This defiles a person. The disciples came and said to him, this is the part that really stuck out to me, and it's not going to be a very long message, but I think this just stuck out to me the other day. The disciples came to him and said, do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And so it's like, it's interesting to me that the disciples are the ones dealing with the fear of man here. Jesus doesn't bring it up at all. I think if I had gone through that episode, I would have been like, hey, calling up a friend. Hey, this just happened. Like, can you believe they just did this? Like, was I right there? Was I wrong? But Jesus, it's just like he's so secure in who he is. He's so secure in what he's doing that people's opinion, people's rejection, people's criticism don't even come close to him. They don't even touch him. And I hope this is making sense. I think I forgot. Anyway, I looked up a bunch of verses about the fear of man, and it's all over the scripture. It's amazing how all over the scripture it is. Like, the fear of man doesn't mix with the fear of the Lord and the love of the Lord. Just like Aaron, whenever Moses went up the mountain, and Moses said, I'll be right back, guys. And the people swayed Aaron, hey, make an idol for us, make an idol for us. And eventually, Aaron gave in to the fear of man, and he made an idol. The fear of man will always create idolatry and lead us away from the things of God. So the Pharisees are trying to exert that pressure on Jesus. And they're the political, you know, they have the political capital, they have the social capital, they have the power, but not really, because the truth is always the one with the power. And because and I'll show you why in just a minute. But Jesus isn't bothered by their criticism. You know, even the blind man in John 9, that they say, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Christ, we're going to kick him out of the synagogue, thank you, out of the temple. And so the blind man gets healed by Jesus, and they call the parents in, and they're like, hey, dude, who is Jesus? Did Jesus heal him or not? And they're like, hey, whoa, you know, leave us out of this because we don't want the criticism. We don't want to be canceled. And so they left it out. But Jesus says this, and this is what stuck out to me. And this is true for not just cancel culture, but this is true when we're criticized. And listen, if we walk with Jesus, we're going to be criticized, and sometimes by each other. And I think when we're criticized by each other, it's different because we're called to reconcile with one another. We're not called to hold on to that with each other. But when the world criticizes us, it's a little bit different ballgame. And here's what Jesus says. And he answered this. He said, every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit. So just interesting, Jesus says, leave them alone. That, for some reason, that stuck out to me. It doesn't really sit well with me as an evangelist, as someone who wants to reach everybody. It's kind of an interesting thing to say. Jesus just basically says, just forget about the Pharisees. It's not your job to reach the Pharisees. You don't have to fight every single battle. You can just let it go, let them go, don't worry about it. And I think this is especially true in the Facebook era, okay? If you make a comment on Facebook and someone's, comes against you. You know, people are 10 times as bold on Facebook as in prayer. I think if we had the boldness that we had on Facebook in real life, we would have reached the world with the gospel like 10 times by now. But it's okay, let it go. Jesus just says, let it go. The criticism, if people criticize you, okay. I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm beloved by him. I know I'm accepted by him. I know I'm one with him. Just let the criticism go. The Lord will handle it. The Lord will sort it out. You don't have to be the one to sort out the criticism. Now, I think this is especially true in the political world today. I mean, the blind will lead the blind into a pit. Evil will work itself out, and it won't come to a good end for them. And we don't really have to be the ones to fight that battle. Now, some people I do think are called to fight in the political. I'm not making a comment there, but Jesus says about the Pharisees, look, just leave them alone. The blind guides will lead the blind into a pit every time. And I think prophetically, I think we're going to see that in our nation. I think we're going to see that in a lot of the, we're going to see a lot of the blind leading the blind into a pit. And they're going to, you know, like Bishop says, the snake always swallows itself. And so our job is just to love Jesus, love our neighbor, preach the gospel, and keep going. And when criticism does come, we just know who we are in Christ. We don't fear man, and we forgive, and we keep doing our thing. So, amen.